Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As usual, I've got Tony with me. Rick is still out for one more episode, so we've got Mr. George Bodine with us. George, great to have you. We actually just recorded a podcast with you, so people are going to see a lot of you over the next couple of weeks. Let's jump right into the news here. So up first, we've got Texas. We're just going to kind of run through a few things because there's one overarching theme. So first of all, Texas moves to create a Bitcoin reserve with no buying limit. We also have BlackRock says that Bitcoin is a risk-off asset as a global monetary alternative. As a side note, they say that ETH is a risk-on asset. And banks are serving crypto customers, and we don't want to get in the way, says Jerome Powell, which seems to be a change of tune from what we've historically seen, Operation Chokepoint 2.0, and among other sort of roadblocks that we've hit as an industry. George, I'm going to let you run with this first because you on our I don't want to give away too much of the podcast, but you talked about, there's a train leaving and we've got a ticket and not everyone does. To me, these stories all validate your point entirely. What do you think of all this stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what's going on right now. I think 19 states have got these Bitcoin reserve or crypto reserve categories coming up for bills. Did you know that that particular one, that cap there basically means that there are no other cryptocurrencies that are going to be in that reserve? That's Bitcoin only because poor ETH, their market caps dropped to like 300 billion, just a little bit over it. And you know what? I can tell you what the trend is. Okay, watch my finger. It's just going to go down. It's just going down. That's where it's going. So, you know, it's great. It's great news. Now, some of the bills have not passed. I was surprised that Wyoming didn't, but Pennsylvania didn't. But some of these will pass. There's one in my home state, and I've written. Again, I'm telling you, I got immediately. If you're not, you know, look how old I am. I'm using AI. I use, you know, ChatGPT. I use Grok. It just takes a second, and you can even gin up a one-paragraph letter. Send it off to your reps and tell them, hey, you know, I want this thing in my home state. So it's just so bullish, you know, and Larry Fink, I mean, talk about the reincarnation of a human being. You know, I've never had really high opinions of him, but, you know, I've kind of changed. I mean, you have to be a certain humility in order to come before national TV, like on CNBC, when he just says, I was wrong. I mean, that's pretty cool. And it's almost like everyone bends the knee to Bitcoin at some point. And I see this going forward. I just see it continuing. We're going to accelerate. We're at that point right now. We're in a cycle. And, you know, it's almost like a escape velocity for a rocket. It takes about 25,000 pounds of thrust to get a rocket off the planet's surface. Now, I'm talking about, not like, an instant acceleration. It's not like you're watching it taking off the pad, but as it gets higher and higher, it takes less and less thrust, and it's easier and easier. I someday when we have more time, I'll tell you a funny story about thrust and how high you can go in an F-18. But I can tell you one thing, the Earth, I have witnessed it. The Earth is not flat. For all you flat Earth, you know, conspiracy idiots out there, just take it from me, somebody who's seen it. You know, the Earth has a curve to it. So I just think these are such positive. The news, everything I see in the news is, you know, just very, very positive. Jerome Powell, you know, that last news story there. Man, that choke point 2.0, that was brutal. And I did not understand. You know, that's another thing where I was just wrong. I was wrong because I didn't understand how pervasive that was. It had done a lot of damage. And, you know, Gensler, you know, he is going to come out really poorly in history. The review of that man is going to be not very positive because he politicized his office. He weakened his office. He violated the law. You know, when they approved the Bitcoin futures ETF, they were immediately in violation of U.S. law every time they denied a spot Bitcoin BTF ETF and caused a lot of damage. I mean, and finally, you know what? When they were taken to court, the judges ruled, yeah, you're violating the law. You lose. And I think Jerome Powell probably thinks, you know what? I better get on the right side of history here because my time might be really limited what I've got left here. And maybe he's just had a change of heart too.
Yeah. Tony, what, give your thoughts and I'll share mine.
Sure, man. I mean, if you can't beat them, join them, right? They threw everything at Bitcoin. They, you know, they were on a fast track of corruption in the last 4 years. Like, what didn't they try to destroy it, right? But I mean, at some point, sooner or later, you understand that, you know, the more you attack this thing, the more resilient it is, and it proves and just, you know, like put more pushes like conviction of those who are already believing in it even further. Like, I mean, if all of these people with all of these resources and all of their supposed force behind it tried to blow it up, broke every single law, you know, rule in the book, and yet continuously failed at it, like, what does that tell you, right? So, I mean, if you wanted conviction, just look at that. And now that there's a new sheriff in town, well, you know, now all of these people are scurrying to save face so that they don't, you know, blow up in history books. For some of them, like you mentioned, George, it's a little too late, but, you know, people have goldfish memories anyhow. So maybe, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, someone will still make it through. But this is absolutely great news. Bitcoin is for the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if you hate the fact that all these guys now are coming into Bitcoin, well, that's expected, right? Like, I mean, you can't censor people out of Bitcoin because it just defeats the point. So whether you like it or not, it's for everyone. And you just have to focus on yourself. Make sure you don't miss that train, even though, you know, it's already left the station, in my opinion, a long time ago. So whatever, you know, little tidbits you can still get while we're still at the, you know, under 100K mark, you know, you better scramble.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I'll sort of break these down, my opinion, one by one. So first of all, I'm much more excited about states adopting a strategic reserve than I am the federal government. And the reason for that is because I don't want the federal government to be less powerful. I don't want them to pay down their debt and then start again. And like, we need to separate money from state. And the only way we do that, I think, is power back to the people and consolidating power at a much lower level closer to home. So that's, you know, I probably would need to think. I haven't thought a lot about the state's strategic reserves and investing in, you know, pension funds, but it makes a lot of practical sense. Like, the best thing they can do for their constituents is that. I have more concerns at a higher level where we're already, I think, the full corruption of the federal government is well on display at the moment. In terms of BlackRock, I mean, I think they're I'm kind of with you on this, George. I think they're just beginning to get it. And we talked on our last Bitcoin banter about the gold shortage in London. So there's a ton of gold leaving London for the United States. So the people who are doing that understand sound money. They're the type of people who either are or should be into Bitcoin. They understand the fundamentals. Philosophically, I think they're aligned with us. And they're obviously preparing for economic turmoil, higher inflation over, you know, some duration of time. And they want to get their gold into a safer place than London, where it can be, you know, papered over. In terms of, yeah, I agree. I think too on Jerome Powell, I think he's just seen this as an inevitable wave that he can't stop. And why be the guy who's fighting this losing battle? So I think, and Tony, you're right, though. All very bullish for Bitcoin. What I love is it's sort of like the, what's the saying? I don't like what you say, but I'd die to, you know, defend your right to say it kind of thing. Like, I wish these people weren't the ones getting into Bitcoin, BlackRock, and I wish the central banks weren't getting on board. But that's the nature of Bitcoin, and it is inevitable, and we have to be willing to accept that our enemies are going to join too.
Man, the thing is, this is, in my opinion, this is one of the most bullish signs, because if these guys are panicking into Bitcoin, the average person should be like sprinting at 1,000 miles an hour, you know, to keep up, because they know what's coming. And these guys are usually, you know, at the top of the echelon when it comes to anything, you know, money related. So if you see, you know, it's like almost when you see somebody like one of those bomb diffusers, if you see him run, you better be running right after him, right? So I put that like in a similar situation. If you see the BlackRock swarming into Bitcoin, you better be right behind them.
Amen. George, yeah, any other comments?
They're going to take up a lot of oxygen in this space, and a lot of, you know, you're going to get enough size and people in this space that are so large in their ability to move large amounts of purchases, sales, that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I'm not happy about a lot of it, but at the same time, and I think you already know how I feel about this, it's inevitable. There's nothing, you can go to Grok, go to ChatGPT and type in, you know, how do I stop these events? And you'll find out that you're not going to stop Bitcoin. It's a beast. It's like a virus. And you know, the thing is that at some point, you know, some point this will slow down. I mean, as more and more adoption occurs, there will be a point. You know, one of the things about some of the models is they break when Bitcoin is widely adopted. I mean, it's done. It's kind of, we're here. That's hyper Bitcoinization. And someday that will happen. I think it's going to be a long time, but it'll happen.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, the other thing we wanted to spend our time on today was really just to, because George, you were such an interesting conversation the other day for the podcast, just to sort of bat around our thoughts on what it means to live and operate on a Bitcoin standard, to be all in, to, you know, lead the self-sovereign life. And I know what that looks like for Tony. Probably a lot of people do. But George, I'll let you go first and just maybe talk a little bit about, you know, one thing you talked about that was really interesting and inspiring to me was sort of the pace of life that you have. You're laid back. You're spending your time and you're investing your time in the things that you want to be investing your time in. What role has Bitcoin played in that for you?
Well, you know, first off, we'll make sure and keep this really positive for people because, you know, if you look at me and you see my age and stuff, I should be retired now. And I have been in Bitcoin now for years. And I just kind of put all my money into Bitcoin pretty early. I mean, in the sense for me, through this cycle, it was the start of 20 that I started buying. But the thing is, for young people, okay, you know, like, look at you, Michael. I mean, your age, you need to keep working. I mean, this is the time in your life, you're working. You got your nose to the grindstone, and you should be doing that. But the hope of Bitcoin is that while you're working there, there is nobody that can rug pull you. The entire time that you're stacking sats, those are yours. And nobody's going to print anymore. Nobody's going to step in and take those or tax them. And if they do, you know what? You're probably going to be moving somewhere where they're not taxed. So it just gives you so much freedom. And, you know, as we talked about before, you know, if you can get up to a tenth of a Bitcoin and then just kind of keep, you know, stacking as you go about your life and doing your things, you're going to be wealthy. And I mean wealthy. You know, your kids, your family, I mean, you guys are going to have just a blast and you're going to end up like me. And you're going to get there sooner and you're going to have a lot nicer world than what I'm dealing with right now as we go through all this. And it's going to be a very positive thing. And you're going to end up like me and you're going to be saying, hey, you know, what do I want to do in life to have fun? What do I want to do with my kids? And what are my kids interested in? And they're not going to be on this damn hamster wheel, this running until you're exhausted. You know, you, your kids, your wife, everybody working or a side job or a... You know, it's a painful experience. And for me, you know, I've gotten to a point now, since I'm all in Bitcoin, I really don't care what happens in life. I worry about my kids and grandkids, and that's what I'm kind of thinking about in the future. But, you know, as far as me, I don't worry about anything. I mean, every day I just, you know, I come down here. I don't give a shit what happens with Bitcoin's price right now. And I don't care what they do. And the, you know, right now we've got a lot of financial data coming out. I don't care about any of that. I used to. I was fixated on it. Now I'm just free. So that's what it gives you, freedom.
It's a beautiful thing. And that's something we talk about that all the time because I am just inundated with messaging. Like what gets frustrating for me personally, because I'm looking for, you know, interesting topics to cover on episodes like this, is there's just so much number go up, MicroStrategy, Bitcoin reserves, and all of those things are, you know, interesting and we bat them around from time to time. But I think people get so fixated on the number go up, the financial implications, like they still view Bitcoin as an investment. And you hit on something, and it is to some degree, you are investing in your financial future. But you hit on something really important, and that is the freedom and the sovereignty, that the optionality that Bitcoin gives you.
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt Tony, but I do want to, that's a good point. You know, that's really important. I don't fixate on that. And you know why? Because my mindset is different. And if you're listening right now or you're watching this, I really strongly suggest that you get into this mindset because it'll change your life. I've already made a decision that I'm not selling my Bitcoin. I mean, I'm just holding on to it. Now, I don't mean I won't support the Bitcoin network. I've done it before. You know, I got a wallet, you know, and I've got a hot wallet, and I'll get some Bitcoin. I'll spend it. That's fine. But that core savings, like that stuff you're working, when you got your nose to that grindstone and you're slaving away in this fiat fucked up world, and you're out there and you get those sats, they're important to you. You've got to hold on to them. And I don't give them up. I mean, they're mine. And I have no intention of selling. I'll just pass it on to my family someday. And there's going to come a time soon when you'll be able to live off those. And eventually there'll be a point where you don't even have to sell the damn things. You can just live on them for, you know, in perpetuity. So it's a wonderful mindset. And if you can just get to that point, you're going to be set, man. I mean, you're going to be calm, relaxed. You're going to go, it doesn't really matter what's going on. These are my sats. I'm going to live with them all my life. And eventually I'm going to have enough wealth with them that I can live the lifestyle I want. I never have to sell one of them.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing when the CPI print and the S&P 500 aren't your aren't your barometers for how life is going. Tony, I know you've seen the worst of fiat world. I know you, if anyone knows how to rant on this subject, man, go for it.
Oh man, when you come from complete, you know, from ground zero after witnessing, you know, in real time how the fiat world is built, it doesn't take very long for you to reset, you know, into something like Bitcoin. But, you know, like everyone, you have to be sure that you're not setting yourself up for another disappointment, which is why initially, you know, even I was fixated on it and tried to blow it up and destroy everything about it just to make sure that, you know, I was onto something. But after a while, you know, like, I mean, this is technology. And I had the advantage of coming from this world. So even though it took me thousands of hours of research, at some point it really clicked in my head what this was. And I understood, like, early on compared to most, that you're not going to stop this. And once that clicks, like once you really truly understand that, then all my fears and anxiety about the potential of Bitcoin failing, they really disappeared. And I was happy with one thing that you mentioned on, George, is that I was no longer going to get ripped off by a bunch of thieves. You know, I was giving the finger to the fiat mafia once and for all. Anything I do from this point on, building from ground zero, was 100% going to be for me. And no one can take that away from me. You can come and threaten physically and all you want, and maybe you win, maybe you don't. But either way, you're not getting access to the money. That is the fundamental key here, right? So once that truly sinks in, your life becomes so detached from anything material. My first version, Tony 1.0, the successful version, had your typical, you know, successful lifestyle, you know, the cars, the hotels, the travels, you know, all the fun stuff usually associated with that amount of wealth. And once it disappears, and you go through that dark journey and you come out on the other of it and you discover Bitcoin, none of that stuff matters anymore. It's almost like miraculous. I don't care about anything material. Everything that means something to me right now is very spiritual and human related. My interactions with folks that I meet now, this is what keeps me going every morning. When I wake up and come to work and know that I'm helping an individual understand what I understand, like, there's no money in the world that you can pay me that makes up for that feeling of gratitude that I get from that individual once they understand it as well. You understand? Like, it really changes your whole purpose. I chase memories and experiences now. I don't chase material things. In fact, I don't own anything. I don't own a house anymore. I don't own a car. I don't own any fancy items. I don't care. I love traveling. I love meeting people. I love experiencing new things with folks. That's valuable to me now, right? And every Bitcoiner that I've encountered, you know, to a certain degree, they share the same values, which is why, there's this almost this magical feeling of meeting someone for the first time if they're a Bitcoiner. And all of a sudden, the conversation flows for hours, you know, like from as if you've known them your entire life. And you have no idea how it's happening, but it's going on and on and on. And everybody just feels comfortable and at home. That is Bitcoin, right? That is the essence of freedom. Go anywhere, do anything with anyone, knowing that no one is going to steal your time and energy anymore, no matter what they say. So you have to get over the fear. You have to get over staring at the charts. You have to get over caring what the big boys are doing. The big boys are going to have to come to this anyhow. They have no choice. That's the fun part, is that they have no choice, because if they don't get into this, they're going to get completely obliterated. And unfortunately, they understood this, which is why they're FOMOing into it, you know, instead of the regular folks for whom this was created. But Bitcoin's for the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, you missed that train, that's on you.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. George, I'll let you give any parting comments and then give a handoff where people can find you. I think my one final comment personally is everything you guys have just described is the beauty of Bitcoin. I mean the friendships, the sovereignty, the freedom. I think maybe my biggest concern, and not to end this on a downer, is just that the people who have discovered Bitcoin, studied it thoroughly, and are all in to this point are the sort of disagreeable types who see the world in this way. And that's part of the reason, like, I have a friend who's a Bitcoiner and we've known each other for a couple of months and we've only hung out a few times. And like, I would consider this guy one of my best friends already. I think what concerns me is that as we progress down these tracks, there are going to be more and more people who get in because of the investment thesis, because now that's just the way of the world. You have to have Bitcoin, you have to work for Bitcoin, and really don't have an appreciation for sound money, self-sovereignty, and they're going to carry in this legacy fiat mindset with them into this brave new world. So I'm hopeful that these sorts of conversations are conversations that will live on, that people will listen back to, and will reach many of those who maybe are sort of the uninitiated and have some learning to do. So, George, I'll let you comment on that or anything else you want to say, and then give them a handoff where they can find you.
All right. So, you know, I understand I've had some concerns about people that are coming to this space right now, but you know what? Every cycle, it's just like this. People FOMO in, they get in. You know, and there's always survivors. There's always those people that just can't, you know, that get it. They start down the rabbit hole, or they can't get out when they need to, and they're stuck with it. And the next thing you know, they're studying it. I mean, that's just the way Bitcoin works. And, you know, we are a cycle. We're up and down, up and down. We've talked about volatility in the past. I mean, it'll shake a lot of people out, but some will survive and they'll get Bitcoin. It's, you know, this is adoption. This is what it's all about. And, you know, I liked Tony's comments there about the people you meet, because, you know, that's the most positive thing of all. I mean, I'm the best people the best people I've ever met. They're all Bitcoiners. I mean, it's as if Bitcoin's like a black hole. That's what it is. And it's just sucking in everybody that's bright, intelligent, wants to build things, inquisitive, humility. I mean, it's got all the ethical and moral characteristics of a great human being, and they're just getting sucked in. And you know, when you get to the event horizon on a black hole, you never get to see outside again. Whoever's outside never sees you again. When you go past the event horizon, nothing ever comes back out, and it's all heading to one little tiny, tiny point, the singularity, where everything is new. I mean, none of us know what happens in there. And someday, you know, I probably won't be here, but someday in the future, you will be, Michael. Your kids, they're going to see that singularity. They're going to be there, and all this world is going to be coming together, just like we talked about. It's going to be a great black hole.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I couldn't agree more. Just make sure you own your Bitcoin, and you're doing it properly and not leaving it, you know, with third-party custodians and what have you, repeating the same mistakes of the fiat world, you know, just using Bitcoin instead. All of this glory, all of this beauty, all of this is only possible when you are in 100% self-custody. Anyone can do this. This is not rocket science. Otherwise, you keep living with that counterparty risk, nagging at you. And the higher the value of Bitcoin goes, the more it's going to nag at you. You should embrace that you are Bitcoin. You are the vault now. Like, you are your time and energy all embodied in you. You own the keys to it all without anybody's assistance. Let go of the lies and the bullshit that you've been fed since day one and embrace this new way of existing, especially when it comes to money. Bitcoin and self-custody, that is the revolution. You can read the white paper in whichever direction you want. That's the message that it keeps repeating over and over and over again.
Well said. Well, for everyone listening, thank you all for tuning in. If you do need help with proper 100% Bitcoin self-custody, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to schedule some time to chat with you. We also help with online privacy phones. We've got a Plan B residency option, all of your self-sovereignty needs under one roof. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. George, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to chat with you, not once, but twice this week. You're going to be a legend in this space, man. I love your commentary and appreciate all that you're doing. And thank you so much for the time today.
Well, I appreciate that. If anybody wants to find me, I'm just on X. Just type in my call sign from the Navy, Jethro, JETHROE111, and send me a DM anytime you want. I'll make sure and say hi.
Perfect. Cheers, guys.
Bye, buddy. Guys.